Blog Talk Radio.
From Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during the Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the Best Hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Glad to be with you this morning. It's Friday morning, April 4th, and we are excited to be with you. I'm excited to be with you this morning, of course, going into the weekend, and we are moving along through the month of April already. We're going to be talking about Lesson 94 as we're closing in on our first 100 lessons. And we've laid a solid foundation already. We have. We've laid a solid foundation of an understanding of what A Course in Miracles is truly about. It's about awakening. It's not about dressing your life up. It's not about making your life as you know it today, as the ego would have you believe it to be, to make it better. It's not about fixing it up at all. It's about awakening from it completely. As our brother Christ Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And as he was asked if he was enlightened, I've heard it said that Buddha said, I am awake. I am the dreamer of the dream. There have been mystics down through the ages. Of course, only a handful. Zoroaster, Krishna, Jesus, and certainly Buddha, that only a handful down through the ages. And they all basically, in a real sense, taught the same thing, that it's all mind. They all taught the same thing, that it's all mind. And our perception, or I should say the ego's perception, which is a part of our mind that we're kind of making up as we go along, literally, that we've made up. Our mind became split. And part of our mind is completely insane. There's no doubt about it. Part of our mind is completely insane. But the other part of our mind is the part of our mind within which we have made, we were given the gift of connection with our Father, our source of life itself, God. There's only one God. There's only one mind, because the mind of God is infinite, and you cannot be outside that mind. And just like, as an example, as an analogy, okay, when you sleep at night, everything that's going on in your dreamscape, all of the characters, all of the events, all of the people, all of the drama, and the bodies, the gravity, the air you're breathing, the light within which you're seeing the dream, everything that's happening in that dream is all made up of the same stuff. It's all in your mind. You created your own little world there. And here in what we call the waking dream, this world as we call it, as we know it, it's a collective consciousness. And that's still just one mind. But the collective consciousness, at least in my perception, perpetuates an endless dream. It occurs to me that at some point in time, or at no point in time, are all of the inhabitants of our planet all asleep at the same time, if you will. All of us, or many of us, if not half of us, are always awake, or what we believe to be awake, but we are not awake at all. No, we're not. And as my friend and my savior and my teacher, Rajpur would say, it's as if you're laying on a grassy knoll in the middle of heaven, just like at night you're safe at home in bed, sleeping in bed. It's as if you're laying on a grassy knoll in the middle of heaven, dreaming of separation. What would it be like if we went out and played God for a while? Well, there's a saying that goes around in my business that I'm involved in, you know, in my got to feed myself life kind of thing. And it goes along the lines of, you know, is the juice worth the squeeze? Because we squeeze ourselves every day. And the ego does get some juice out of that. It does get a hit. Every time we project guilt onto somebody, we get a hit out of it. The ego gets some satisfaction. We are addicted to guilt. And even fear. We never leave the house without it in our pocket. The ego mind is insane. And it believes and has constructed insane concepts. But there's one concept that it cannot understand, and that concept is love. See, the ego doesn't understand love. It always believes in trading, not really ever giving, completely giving. It doesn't understand the word unconditional when it's referred to in the sense of love. The ego doesn't understand love at all. So it makes up everything else. It makes up an idea, an insane idea of what love is. And it's based on conditions of our brothers and sisters. There's no acceptance of them under certain conditions. They are cast out of our lives. Even the people sometimes that we have gotten so close with, so intimately close with, our partners, our spouses, our significant others, our brothers and sisters even, our mothers and fathers, sometimes are cast out of our lives because of conditions. We just won't accept them anymore. But the truth is, you are as God created you. You can dream a dream, a nightmare. You can have nightmares any night of the week. At any time, you could fall into a nightmare in your dream. And sometimes the dreams are fun and exciting, and sometimes they're horrifying and terrifying. And they're nightmares. But when you wake up, you realize that you're still safe at home in bed. It was all mind. Every bit of it was all mind. You've never left the mind of God, because there is no place else to be. God created you and placed his mind within your mind. You are as God created you. And when you awaken to the realization of that truth about yourself, your true self, and you listen to this voice for God, which is our guide, our comforter, our teacher, the Holy Spirit, you begin to recognize ultimately that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. And in this awakening and in this recognition and this absolute blissful news, we can begin to accept our brothers and sisters under any conditions, because we begin to recognize what love really is, and love that is the love of our Father, the love of God, as she has created you to be, is to be perfect love, unconditional. And so you are that, perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. And you must see your brothers and sisters therefrom in order for you to begin to allow yourself to believe, actually to accept yourself from that point therefrom, if you will. You must see yourself therefrom, but it begins with acceptance of your brother. And that acceptance of your brother is the same as it would be if you were to say, I want to accept Jesus Christ into my life. Because Jesus Christ, as we knew him, Christ Jesus, who walked this planet 2,000 years ago, is absolutely, and tells you in this scripture, no different in any way. Other than he didn't adapt the belief that we've held so firmly about the dream, and he is a little, well, not a little, but, you know, he's away, he's further down the road. In other words, he's just turning around and stretching out his hand and saying, we're all the same, come with me, here's the direction. That's why he came here. And it begins with the acceptance of your brother and your sister, these perfect children of God. It begins with the recognition of them as God's perfect child, as God has created them to be. And in this recognition, one begins to see the reflection of self in that one. What a beautiful thing indeed. So that's our topic actually for today, or that's the section, if you will. In chapter 9, it's section 6, the acceptance of your brother. Let's jump in. How can you become increasingly aware of the Holy Spirit in you, except by His, that is, the Holy Spirit's effects? You cannot see Him with your eyes, nor hear Him with your ears. How then can you perceive Him at all? If you inspire joy in others, react to you with joy, even though you're not experiencing joy yourself, there must be something in you that is capable of producing it. If you inspire joy, if you inspire that in others, and others react to you with joy, even if you're not experiencing it yourself, there must be something in you that is capable of producing it. If it's in you and can produce joy, and if you see that it does produce joy in others, then you must be dissociating yourself from it. It seems to you that the Holy Spirit does not produce joy consistently in you, only because you do not consistently arouse joy in others. Their reactions to you are your evaluations of His consistency. When you are inconsistent, you will not always give rise to joy. And so you will not always recognize His, the Holy Spirit's consistency. What you offer to your brother, you offer to him, that is, the Holy Spirit, because he cannot go beyond your offering in his giving. That's not because he limits his giving, but simply because you've limited your receiving. The decision to receive is the decision to accept. If your brothers are part of you, will you accept them? Only they can teach you what you are, for you're learning as a result of what you taught them. Let's say that again. Only you are going to keep what you give. Right? Remember that? That was from one of our earlier chapters. You only keep what you give. And only your brothers and sisters can teach you what you are. For your learning is a result of what you taught them. The teacher is the learner. And as you call upon it in them, it becomes real to you. As you call upon it in them, it becomes real to you. God has but one Son. Knowing them all as one. Now that statement right there sounds confusing. Because we see the world from a place of duality. But make no mistake that our teacher is taking us out of the realm of duality. And we're moving from duality to semi-duality to non-duality. Ultimately, to pure oneness. This statement, this sentence, says that there is only one Son of God. So that would say there is only a oneness. But then it says, knowing them all as one. God has but one child, we could say, one Son, knowing them all as one. How could that be possible? I mean, The ego mind cannot get it, cannot comprehend it, and doesn't even recognize that as part of its perception of reality. You're over there, I'm over here. We're separate. that's not what this teaching is telling us, is it? Because don't forget, the ego mind is insane. It cannot comprehend. I cannot teach my cat how to drive my car. I don't care how many times I put her paws on the steering wheel. The ego can get it. It cannot get it. The ego mind cannot comprehend oneness. And it's something that you, however, are capable of knowing simply through experience. The experience of oneness. And it begins with the experience of the oneness with your right mind. And then the recognition of that oneness in your brothers and sisters and taking the steps toward accepting your brothers as part of you. And that is to begin to see that they are all the perfect children of God and recognizing them as one in the eyes of God. We move from duality to non-duality, right? Or we could say duality to semi-non-duality, because that's what this sentence does. It reflects a semi-non-duality. God has but one Son, knowing them all as one. Only God himself is more than they. And we could say that because God is the author of all that is. But that's the only distinction. You are not your source. You did not create yourself. Therefore, hello and hallelujah, you cannot take your life. You don't have the power to create it, that is your life, or to take it from yourself through some construct of ego mind, which is an illusion, called death. And that was our brother Christ Jesus' demonstration. You cannot die. The crucifixion was completely unsuccessful because it was an attempt to take his life. The resurrection, as Easter dawns on us in this month of April, the resurrection was simply the recognition that that's impossible. It was a demonstration. Because of the oneness of mind and because of the reality that all is mind and all is within the mind of God. Only God himself is more than they, his children, but they are not less than he is. Again, that seems to be oxymoric. The only distinction then being that he is the author of you, the source of your life. He is your creator. Would you know what this means? If what you do to my brother, Jesus is saying, you do to me, and if you do everything for yourself because we are part of you, right? In other words, oneness. Everything we do belongs to you as well. Everything that our brother Christ Jesus does belongs to you. That is, a part of your mind, hallelujah, is already awakened. There is an aspect of your mind that has already awakened. And we are all aspects of that one mind. And if you are struggling with grasping that, I'll just share an analogy with you. To see if this might help. But we certainly recognize that we all have an aspect of our ego mind called the controller. We have terminology to that, in respect to that, that speaks to that, that it goes along the lines of, oh, she's a control freak. He is a control freak. Right? She's trying to be, she always has to control everything. And the very one that's accusing, by the way, you keep what you get, and you only see in your brothers and sisters what you don't like in yourself. It's projection. So someone who might be saying that, we could say, they've got control issues because they're worried about somebody else's control. See, it's all an illusion. It's all a crazy, crazy, insane manipulation of ego mind. But the bottom line is, we all understand that we have this aspect of our mind called the controller. And then we could say, there's an aspect of our mind called the protector. You know that one, that aspect of your mind. You know, you want to protect your family, protect your kids, protect your home, protect your car, protector. So if I call forward that aspect of your mind, you might be able to bring that mind forth, and I might be able to speak directly to that mind if the controller gives permission. Or there's another aspect of your mind I could speak to called the skeptic. Oh, yes, indeed, many, many of us, we have that skeptic mind come forth many times. If not in our daily life, certainly in our weekly experiences in this world. The skeptic is always going, wait a minute, I don't know if I believe that. I promise you that the skeptical aspect of my mind was top of mind and full-blown out front, running the show the day I first started to realize that A Course in Miracles had been channeled through Jesus Christ. The skeptic aspect of my mind said, whoa, wait a minute. You're going to believe that? People are going to think you're an idiot. People are going to think you're a fool, Tony. I can't believe you're going to, you don't want to do that. You don't want to believe that. This can't be. I've even had people say, oh, that was written by some psychologist. I mean, obviously she was a brilliant woman, and that was just a way for them to manipulate people, really. Well, I didn't even get through the first few paragraphs, and I recognized this as gospel. I recognized this as scripture. And the skeptic in me is no more. Gone. But still remains an aspect of my life. Still remains. In some situations, the skeptic comes forth. So we've got all these different aspects of my mind, if you will, my ego thinking, the comforter, the protector, the son, my parents, right, the brother and sister, my siblings, the father of my children. I've got all these different roles that I play as an ego. All these are different aspects of my mind. But aren't all of these same aspects of me? It's almost like I have multiple personalities, right? Aren't all of these aspects of me literally still just the one me, the one mind that I am? Well, yes, of course. So with that explanation, that helps me, okay, to recognize that duality is an illusion. God has but one child, knowing them all as one, and only God himself is more than they, but they are not less than he is because God is our creator. Our being the one child of God that we are, the Christ that we are, and there is an aspect of your mind called Christ, that is part of your mind that is already awakened. As Jesus said, I have already done it for you. All we have to do now, okay, now that he's pointed the way and shown us the path and given us the key to the combination, that being forgiveness, the recognition of truth, and through this recognition, tapping into the Holy Spirit, nothing more than our right mind, and listening to the voice for God to remind us to forgive our brothers and sisters, for they know not what they do. Because they do nothing. Dreams have no effect. All events being neutral, of course. If you want to do, if what you do to my brother, you do to me, and if you do everything for yourself, because we are part of you, everything we do belongs to you as well. Everyone God created is part of you and shares his, God's glory, with you. His glory belongs to him, but it is equally yours. You cannot then be less glorious than he God is. God is more than you only because he created you. But not even this would he keep you. Therefore, you can create as he did. And your dissociation will not alter this. Neither God's light nor yours is dimmed because you do not see. Because the sonship must create as one. You remember creation and you recognize part of creation. Each part you remember adds to your wholeness because each part is whole. So what are we reading? That God is more than you only because he created you, but not even this would he keep from you. Therefore, you can create as he did, and your dissociation will not alter this. Neither God's light nor yours is dimmed because you do not see, because the sonship must create as one. In other words, we must all then become awakened in order to be able to create again. You remember creation whenever you recognize part of creation. When you recognize Christ in your brothers and sisters, you are remembering a part of creation. Each part you remember adds to your wholeness. In other words, you're beginning to remember yourself because each part is whole. It's like a holograph, something that we can use as an analogy. Each piece of the holograph contains the whole within it. Wholeness is indivisible. But you cannot learn of your wholeness until you see it everywhere. You can know yourself only as God knows his child, his son, his daughter, for knowledge is shared with God. When you awake in him, God, you will know your magnitude by accepting his limitlessness as yours. But meanwhile, you will judge it as you judge your brothers and will accept it as you accept his. So in other words, if you see your brothers and sisters as limited, separate beings, guess what you see yourself as? You cannot see them differently than you see yourself. You are not yet awake. But you can learn how to awaken. Very simply. The Holy Spirit teaches you to awaken others. This goes back to what I shared with you as our first discussions this morning. This book is about enlightenment. Salvation and enlightenment mean the same thing to me. After studying this book, after studying Buddhism, and after knowing my brother Christ Jesus as I do in this teaching, and from the other teachings that he shared with the world in these really recent years. This is about awakening. Your awakening. It's not about making life as you know it better, but yes, guess what? It will get better. Because you're letting it go. You quit holding on to the crap that's causing the crap. I had someone who texted me early this morning, and he has some catastrophe in their business, and they're like, how do we deal with this? And, you know, basically he was asking me, you know, if I knew anything about the situation and what would I recommend and whatever, and it was some lady who was basically, you know, attacking his company who used to be an employee. And I said to him, I know that you have the desire to defend and attack, but I will treat her with ignorance. That is, I will disregard her attack because ignoring her is the one thing that she cannot defend. And ultimately, she will go away. Whatever you give attention to, you draw to yourself, and whatever you disregard disappears. Look around at the very life you're living as you know it now, the things in your home, the people you hang out with, whatever that you are experiencing, you have attracted it into your experience. You have attracted it into your experience. Hallelujah. Thank God, you're a fantastic manifester. You're tremendously successful. Yes, you are. But you are not yet awake. But you can learn how to awaken. Very simply, the Holy Spirit teaches you to awaken others. As you see them waken, you will learn what waking means. And because you have chosen to wake them, their gratitude and their appreciation of what you have given them will teach you its value. The teacher is the learner. If your brother is a part of you, will you accept them? Only they can teach you what you are. We read earlier this morning. They will become the witness to your reality as you were created witness to God's. You were created to be the witness to God's reality. Not to fix yourself up. but just to simply be the witness to the reality of God. When the sonship comes together, that's when we all awaken, if you will, and accept its oneness, it will be known by its creations, who witness to its reality as the Son does to the Father. Yes, you have creation, not the things you've made up in the material world, not a house or a table or a car or a barn or anything else. You have creations in spirit that you have been co-creator of, that you do not now recognize because you've dissociated yourself. You have put a dark cloak over everything in the mind of God that you experience. You call it matter and form. And at night, you have to turn the lights on even to see it. You do not even see the radiance of all that there is, of everything that's ever been created in the mind of God. Miracles, which are a sudden shift of perception, they have no place in eternity because they are reparative. A miracle, a sudden shift of perception, is a repair to your thinking. It is a repair to the split mind. It is a healing. Yet while you still need healing, your miracles are the only witnesses to your reality that you can recognize. While you still need healing, your miracles are the only witnesses to your reality that you can recognize. You cannot perform a miracle for yourself because miracles are a way of giving acceptance and receiving it. In time, the giving comes first. So they are simultaneous in eternity. Where they cannot be separated. When you've learned they are the same, that is, giving acceptance and receiving acceptance, they're all the same, the need for time is over. At least we forget the subject of this section is acceptance of your brothers and sisters. Eternity is one time. It's only dimension being always. Now, this cannot mean anything to you until you remember God's open arms and finally know his open mind. Like him, God, you are always in his mind, and with a mind like his, in your open mind, are your creations. In perfect communication, born of perfect understanding, could you but accept one of them, your brothers and sisters, you would not want anything the world has to offer. Everything else would be totally meaningless. God's meaning is incomplete without you, and you are incomplete without your creation. Accept your brother in this world and accept nothing else, for in him, in your brothers and sisters, in them, you will find your creations, because he created them with you. You will. Your brothers and sisters created them with you. And you will never know that you are co-creator with God until you learn that your brothers and sisters are co-creators with you. They are part of you. We are all aspects of that one mind, the Christ consciousness. That's the end of that section, my friends, and so we will pick up there tomorrow for Saturday morning discussion. Let's turn to our lesson in the workbook, lesson 94. Today is day 94, and this is a very deep lesson today. I want to say a very deep lesson indeed. Because if you get this one thing, you are awake. This overwhelms the ego mind. Not unlike me trying to teach my cat how to drive my car. It overwhelms the ego mind because it cannot comprehend the depth of the statement that is the lesson of today, that is this true thought principle. I am as God created me. God created me as mind, as light, as spirit, as love. The ego cannot grasp an understanding. So if you're trying to figure this out with your mind egoically, you'll be kicking around in the dark and stumping your toe for quite some time. But if you recognize the ego, which is not you, is a very poor servant indeed, the intellect itself. I know we all think we're so really smart. The intellect itself is a poor servant to you, indeed, because it cannot grasp even this simple statement, I am as God created me. It's been said that the I am statement is one of the most powerful statements that you can ever make, because indeed it is. I am poor, bam, you're manifesting a vibration that pours not just through your body, but through the universe, penetrates what we call matter. Matter doesn't matter. It's not really even there. And that vibration of such high frequency, or when we say things like that, of such low frequency, resonate out and reflect back. Yes, you've been manifesting your very experience all along by your thinking. And your I am thinking is one of those statements which comes from a belief about yourself that is a clear recognition. You do not understand this statement that we're given today in this workbook lesson. I am as God created me. Today we continue with the one idea which brings complete salvation. It's almost as if nothing else needs to be said. It's like moving to this idea of pure non-duality. The statement, God is. We step out of duality and into oneness. And we recognize our oneness with our Creator, that if we are, then God is. If you are as God is, then you are as God has created you to be. And in our textbook today, which aligns perfectly, there is no separation. There is no difference. There is nothing save that you did not create yourself. The only distinction possible, because God created you as herself. Today we continue with the one idea which brings complete salvation. The one statement which makes all forms of temptation powerless. The one thought which renders the ego silent and entirely undone. You are as God created you. The ego must be silent and entirely undone in the full recognition of this statement, simply because the ego cannot comprehend it. The intellect is a poor servant. In the regards of truth, it is an experience. It is not a sentence on a page. You are as God created you. Close your eyes. Come to the present moment. And simply listen. And you will hear the sound of your being. The witness that you are to the God that has created you, that you are one with. God and you are one. And that one is God. And when you let that be, you get your identity back. You are as God created you. The sounds of this world are still. The sights of this world disappear. And all the thoughts that the world has ever held are wiped away forever by this one idea. Here is salvation accomplished. Here is sanity restored. True light is strength, and strength is sinlessness. Absolutely, hallelujah. As we talked about in our workbook lesson yesterday, God guarantees your sinlessness, and dreams have no effect. Make mistakes? Yes. Sin? Never. Because in ego mind, sins are can never be forgiven. We make them real. We make a sin as something that's eternal. Oh, I did that, so I'm stuck with that for the rest of my life. Bullshit. You haven't done anything. You made an error in a dream at night. You make errors. People do things. You react. You respond. You wake up. Oh, well, it's just a dream. What happened? Nothing. A misperception. It's just a misperception. It's a teaching aid. Teaching what? Teaching you to continue to walk on the path to awakening. Because all errors bring only suffering to who? You. Well, I heard so-and-so, and I heard so-and-so. They were just playing their role in the drama for your awakening, and you for theirs. You are not judged, condemned, or seen less than as God created you to be. Ever. And ever. And ever. The sounds of the whole world are still. The sights of the world disappear. And all the thoughts that the world has ever held, all the thoughts of fear and death, hostility, hatred, guilt, are wiped away forever by this one idea. Here is salvation accomplished. Here is sanity restored. True light is strength. And strength is sinlessness. If you remain as God created you, and you must, you can't change what God has created. If you remain as God created you, you must be strong and light must be in you. And so it is. He who ensured your sinlessness must be the guarantee of strength and light as well. You are as God created you. Darkness cannot obscure the glory of God's. You stand in light, strong in the sinlessness in which you were created and in which you will remain throughout eternity. Today we will again devote the first 5 minutes of each waking hour to the attempt to feel the truth in you. Today, 5 minutes of each waking hour to attempt to feel the truth in you. Begin these times of searching with these words. I am as God created me. I am His Son eternally. Now try to reach the Son of God in you. This is the self, the true self, the capital S self that never sinned. If you would imagine yourself sinning in the middle of a dream, in the middle of night, and you're laying safe at home in bed, quite comfortably and sound asleep, and you dream some horrible dream of terror where you were being chased and you feared for your life and you defended yourself, whatever you may think you have done or not done, when you awaken, can you imagine yourself at that moment? In the recognition that the dream was just a dream, can you imagine yourself in the morning that you never did anything? This is the self that never sinned nor made an image to replace reality. You made an image to replace the reality that you believe to be reality, that you're safe at home in bed, but you're never, we're always dreaming, we learn. You are as God created you. Your dreams don't change that. Your dreams don't change your innocence. You wake up in the morning, you're innocent of your dreams. You're not going to go downtown and turn yourself into the police if you murdered somebody in your sleep, in a dream. Well, of course not. Because the self that you is still safe at home in bed, sound asleep, and you've walled off that part of your consciousness that knows that you are safe at home in bed. And this is the self that's never left its home. This true self, this capital S self, the self that you are as God created you to be. And that self has never left its home. To walk the world uncertainly, as Raj says, you are safe at home, you know, laying on a grassy knoll in the middle of heaven, having a dream of separation. You've never left God's mind. You've never left your home to walk some world of uncertainty. This is a self that knows no fear, nor could conceive of loss or suffering or even death. Now try to reach the Son of God in you. Because this is the self that knows no fear or suffering or death. I am as God created me. I am his Son eternally. And this is our practice today, 5 minutes at the beginning of each hour. And you can set your smartphone and can go off and do that. Nothing is required of you to reach this goal except to lay all idols and self-images aside, that is your self-concepts about yourself. In other words, be present and just tell your ego, I'm not paying any attention to you right now. I'm going to just sit here and be present with myself. Go past the list of attributes, both good and bad, that you have ascribed to yourself, and just wait in silence, expectancy for the truth. Expect to hear that voice. Expect to hear your voice, because the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. Expect it with innocence, humility, gratitude, and curiosity. Expect to hear something different. God has himself promised that it will be revealed to all who ask for it. You're asking now. You cannot fail because he cannot fail. If you do not meet the requirements of practicing for the first 5 minutes of every hour, at least remind yourself hourly, I am as God created me. I am his Son eternally. Tell yourself frequently today that you are as God created you. And be sure to respond to anyone who seems to irritate you with these words, you are as God created you. You are his Son eternally. Make every effort to do the hourly exercises today. Each one you do will be a giant stride towards your release and a milestone in learning the thought system which this course sets forth. I am as God created. And this, to me, is the celebration. So join with me, my brothers and sisters, as we close in prayer today. I'm so truly honored that you are on board with me this morning listening in the radio show. Thank God for you. A moment of silence and a prayer as we close. You are my goal, my Father. What but you could I desire to have? What way but that which leads to you could I desire to walk? And what except the memory of you could signify to me the end of dream and futile substitutions for the truth? You are my only goal, Father. Your Son would be as you created him. What way but this could I expect to recognize myself and be at one with my true identity? Again, Father, we join in a unified voice in gratitude saying, thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us this teaching. Thank you for giving us this understanding. Thank you for giving us our guide. Thank you for giving us our comforter. and our brother Christ Jesus, who stepped around the wall and into a dream of illusion, into a nightmare of hell, to show us in person, as we would recognize it to be, the truth of what we are, that we cannot be crucified, not in reality, that we cannot experience death, not in reality. And regardless of how our brothers and sisters act out a misperception of themselves, or regardless of how we conduct ourselves in error and mistakes and misperceptions, forgiveness is not found in heaven because judgment doesn't exist there. And we are as you have created us to be, Father, and we love you, and we're so grateful for the life that you've given us. Amen. I love you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you so much for listening today and participating. And we'll be back tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, for another episode. And wow, it just keeps getting better every day. I love you. Thank God for you. You are truly, truly, truly a blessing in my life. Thank God.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y at truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.